you for tuning in to another episode of Targeted Talks. I'm your host, Nicole Tucker. In this episode, Dr. Sandy Srinivas of Stanford Healthcare and Dr. Nicholas Vogelsang of Comprehensive Cancer Centers discuss sequencing of therapy for a patient with metastatic castration-resistant prostate cancer. Dr. Srinivas begins the talk.
Our session today is really going to be focused on therapeutic sequencing for metastatic CRPC. So this is a typical 75-year-old patient presenting with intermittent right hip pain. His physical exam is unremarkable. He has an ECOG performance status of 1. A workup results in a PSA that's drawn, which is elevated at 32.6. That triggers a prostate needle biopsy, which reveals a Gleason score of 8. He has a staging workup, which reveals a negative bone scan and a negative abdominal and pelvic CT scan for any lymphadenopathy. He's clinically staged as a T2, N0, M0. So this patient was evaluated by the surgeons and radiation oncologist, and he opted to have external beam radiation with androgen deprivation therapy, given his high-risk disease with his Gleason score of 8. A total ADT was planned for 18 months. He starts off with ADT, gets his external beam radiation, does really well. His PSA goes down to undetectable levels. His testosterone is at castrate levels, and patient is asymptomatic and has tolerated radiation therapy quite well. An additional 6 months goes by. Now he complains of hip pain and has urinary frequency. His PSA, which had gone down to undetectable levels, now rises up to 29. He remains castrate given that he's maintained on Lupron. His testosterone is 10. Unfortunately, a bone scan done at this time does reveal 2 new lesions in his right hip, and his abdominal scan shows some left pelvic lymphadenopathy at 2.1 centimeters. So he makes the definition of what we would say a metastatic CRPC, having a rising PSA, having progressive disease on imaging with castrate levels of testosterone. Now that this patient has become castrate, what would be your frontline treatment that you're most likely to offer? I'm actually going to ask Dr. Vogelsang, is bicalutamide an option here, or do you think bicalutamide is off the plate, Nick?
Thanks, Sandy. I don't think bicalutamide is a great idea. Although it's not been compared head to head, there was the terrain study of bicalutamide versus enzalutamide, and enzalutamide soundly thrumped bicalutamide. So I think bicalutamide came in at 9 months and enzalutamide came in at, 3 times that figure. So the usual choice here would be either abiraterone or enzalutamide. Most patients aren't going to jump at docetaxel. CYP-T would be reasonable. Radium would be also reasonable. But the patient isn't that symptomatic. I've done a lot of combinations with Abby and radium. Although the packed inserts shouldn't, I generally tend to do that. But I'm very careful to give bone drugs because the bone fracture rates do go up when you give Abby and radium. So I have to give bone drugs with the two agents.
Nick touched on some of this. How do you choose between chemotherapy and an AR-targeted drug? So if you go to NCCN, you can see that NCCN has many Category 1 recommendations. So Abby makes it to Category 1. You have Enza as an alternate AR-targeting drug. Dosi makes it to Category 1. And then under certain circumstances, CYP-T makes it as Category 1. Radium, as Nick mentioned. So this patient ended up starting on enzalutamide at the standard dose of 160 milligrams per day. His PSA had a good response, came down as low as 3.9, 4 months after starting enzalutamide. But unfortunately, after 8 months, he had progression with his PSA increasing up to 60. He had imaging studies that showed both progression in his nodal disease as well as in his bone disease. He was asymptomatic. He was started on docetaxel at the standard dose of 75 per meter squared given every 3 weeks along with prednisone. And after 6 cycles of docetaxel, he developed neuropathy and docetaxel was held and he was given a little chemotherapy break. He comes back 3 months later, but now has a rising PSA and unfortunately has some new symptoms with back pain. What are you most likely to recommend now that the patient is progressing? So he had Enza. So would you do Abi Pred? Would you go with Cabazi? Would you do radium? Is this the time to look at MSI and somatic mutations, or would you have an alternate choice? Nick, what would your choice be?
The study from Kim Chi was very definitive. The response rate to after enzalutamide failure, when you put people on abiprednisone, was minuscule. It basically didn't respond. Patients don't respond. Now, so therefore, you really shouldn't even bother. You could try other non-steroidal things like apalutamide. That's not really been well studied. So potentially you would have some benefit with apalutamide after enzalutamide. But generally, based upon Kim Chi's study and based upon the CARD study, we would recommend either docetaxel, cabazitaxel, or radium, or if you find an MS defect or a DNA defect, then you go with that, go down that path.
That's a perfect segue to talking about the CAR trial. So your point, Nick, is that there's a lot of cross resistance between Abi and Enza, and moving to something with this non-cross resistant would be good. Continuing for this particular patient, he did get an next generation sequencing, unfortunately didn't reveal any actionable mutations. So some of the things that we have spoken about, I think patient's performance status, tolerance to prior therapy, patient preference, and these are all, again, NCCN's guidelines about patients who have had both DOCI and one prior ADT. Things that make it to category one here are cabazitaxel. Olaparib, in certain circumstances, clearly if patients were to have an HRR mutation, especially BRCA1, and I think radium also makes it to a category one, if you want to avoid chemotherapy and if patients have symptomatic bone disease. So how do you decide between a chemotherapy and AR-targeted patient? I think we spoke a little bit about it. And would you give Cabazi to a patient who did not tolerate docetaxel? So maybe, as Nick said, this, I think, is a really valuable trial. It's the CARD trial. It's a phase 4 trial looking at cabazitaxel versus an AR-targeted agent. And I think it's worthwhile spending a little bit about who were the patients who came on into the study. It was a 255-patient study. These were all patients who had CRPC, who had progressed less than 12 months on a prior AR-targeted drug. So this is not your patient who's getting 24 months, 36 months on Abi or Enza, but these are clearly patients who are having a short duration of response on the AR-targeted drugs. They may or may not have been exposed to docetaxel. So the key question is, this is so relevant to how we practice. Should we be offering a patient the alternate AR-targeted drug? So if they had Abi, should they be getting Enza or vice versa? Or should we be jumping into giving patients chemotherapy? So really practical trial that is very relevant to our everyday clinical practice. So it's a one-to-one randomization. The endpoints really here are looking at imaging-based progression-free survival. There are the key secondary endpoints looking at overall survival, PSA response, tumor response, pain response, some of the things that matter to patients, you know, what's the time to symptomatic skeletal-related events, and obviously quality of life metrics. There are some stratification factors based on ECOG, time to progression on prior AR-targeted therapy, and timing of AR, was it before or after docetaxel? So we look a little bit at the patient characteristics. So I think the first column is patients getting CABAZI, which is 129 patients versus the alternate AR at around 126. The median age is what we would expect for patients with prostate cancer. But interestingly, more than a third of patients were older patients greater than 75. If you look at patients, this was a good mix with almost 20% of patients having visceral disease. Most of these patients had progression and radiographic progression as well as PSA. So just PSA alone was only a smattering 10% of patients. It's interesting that a third of patients had M1 disease at diagnosis. A very small fraction had either DOCI or ABI for hormone-sensitive disease. If you look at the prior AR-targeted therapy, 43% had ABI and 55% had ENZA coming into the cabazitaxel arm and was slightly flipped on the other one. And then 40% received had received this before docetaxel. The median duration of the prior AR was quite short. It was 7.6 months. So really their entry into this trial was they should have had a response less than 1 year. So let's look at their primary endpoint. You can see a nice Kaplan-Meier, which was positive for their imaging-based PFS endpoint. For patients in favor of cabazitaxel at 8 months, compared to the AR-targeted therapy at 3.7 months, the hazard ratio is pretty decent at 0.54 with a statistical p-value. The trial also, if you look at the forest plot looking at all of the pre-planned subgroups, irrespective of whether they had prior to DOCI or after DOCI, duration of the prior androgen deprivation therapy, age. You can see most of these were in favor of cabazitaxel compared to the AR-targeted drug. And you can see that the hazard ratios remained somewhere between 50 and 70. Again, it's a small trial, but did have an improvement. And you can see a radiographic difference favoring cabazitaxel at 13.6 versus the alternate AR at 11, hazard ratio of 0.6 with a p-value that was significant. PFS, again, favoring cabazitaxel. The other endpoints that there was a higher fraction of patients who had a PSA response with cabazitaxel. So 35% versus 13 for those getting the alternate AR drug and pain response too. So I think at this point, it's really important as patients progress past subsequent lines of therapy that giving them chemotherapy allowed their pain to improve. And again, a metric that's important to our patients, which is looking at skeletal related events, also favored cabazitaxel. So pretty good trial, you know, with a small number of patients demonstrating most of the endpoints favoring chemotherapy over the alternate AR-targeted drug. So what about safety? I mean, chemotherapy is chemotherapy compared to an AR-targeted drug. So it's very tempting. I think most patients want to delay chemotherapy. So if you look at the adverse events, so about slightly higher AEs for the chemotherapy compared to the hormone drug. The grade 3 AEs were numerically, 56 to 52, maybe slightly higher on the chemotherapy arm, but definitely adverse events leading to treatment discontinuation was higher in the chemotherapy arm compared to the hormone. And AEs leading to death was actually lower in the chemotherapy arm. What about quality of life? Data. I think all of these trials now show this, and it appears that the overall quality of life favor chemotherapy over hormonal therapy, and especially as far as the pain scales, it's even statistically significant favoring chemotherapy. To me, I thought the CAR trial was, we've been doing this in practice for a while, knowing that there is pretty significant cross resistance. So let's hear about what your opinion on the CAR trial is.
Sandy, I've had a few people tell me that they're nervous about the Jevtana toxicities, vasopressin being a dose at 25 milligrams per meter squared, and you have to give it with G-CSF. I don't use that dose. I use 20 per meter squared, and generally don't give G-CSF. And that has, as I've talked on this topic, I've heard that being a negative. The other thing that some people have said is, well, how could it be that abiraterone and enzalutamide caused increased risk of death? And I think it's just a coding issue that there were people who progressed rapidly, but reality is, I think that this is very concordant with what Dr. Kim Chi's data showed, namely that when you go to a second androgen receptor inhibitor agent, you don't get much value of it, and therefore your disease can be rather explosive. So those are sort of the two things that I've heard in my conferences with a lot of treating doctors about this trial.